This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Michelle Fortune. Michelle's the CEO of St. Luke's Hospital. We'll talk to Michelle today about priorities, points of pride in St. Luke's Hospital, and a little bit more. Michelle, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure, absolutely. I'm really pleased to be here with you. Scott, I'm a Western North Carolina native. I've been a registered nurse for 28 years, and over my healthcare career, I've worked in ambulatory and hospital locations, both as a bedside nurse and then later, obviously, in leadership roles. As you mentioned, currently I serve as the CEO of St. Luke's Hospital. It is a 100% locally and independently owned critical access hospital here in Columbus, North Carolina. The facility itself, we have a management agreement with Atrium Health for certain services. And prior to joining St. Luke's, I worked for Atrium Health in Charlotte as their vice president of perioperative services and anesthesia. So for quite a number of years, I've led teams across North and South Carolina in either hospital or ambulatory surgery locations.
And take a moment and tell our audience, what is a critical access hospital look like today? What services? How does that differ from an acute care hospital? You hear so much about it, critical access hospitals in smaller communities. Often you hear about them struggling in you know, challenging rural communities in terms of at least the healthcare payer environment and recruiting physicians and so forth. What does a critical access hospital look like today?
Well, you know, it varies by location. Ours is a bit unique. We are a small hospital that is surrounded by larger hospitals that are about 30 to 45 minutes away, 25 beds, but we have a network, a healthcare network of rural health clinics, family practice facilities, specialty clinics, even a cancer and infusion center. So we're much more than just a hospital, and certainly a pillar of this community. We are the second largest employer in our community, and that is often the case with these small critical access hospitals. We are, in our community, we serve a very large number of retirees, so we provide vital health care services in a number of specialties to support their wellness.
And take a moment and talk about three points of pride in St. Luke's Hospital.
Boy, yeah, there's a lot to talk about, a lot for us to be proud of. We will celebrate our 91st year of operation in November of this year. We were started back in 1929 by two physicians, Drs. Palmer and Jervy, who really moved to our area, they said, because of the pristine views and the mountain air. So we've been around for a long time. I think certainly being governed by a local board of volunteer citizens, we're proud of that, our local ownership. The other thing that we're really proud of is the high quality and compassionate care that we provide. I tell people we're small, but we're mighty. Consistently, we rank in the top quartile or top decile for quality outcomes. And most recently, we were named a five-star hospital for patient experience by CMS. That is a pretty amazing feat considering only seven hospitals in North Carolina received that honor, but we have a fabulous team. From the care spectrum, we've done a lot of other great things. Dr. Jeff Fire, our lead physician at our rural health clinic, was named the National Rural Healthcare Association Provider of the Year this year, and that was the first time that honor had been bestowed upon a North Carolina provider. The other thing I would say that I'm really proud of, I think we have a team here that does not allow grass to grow under them. So even in the middle of a fight against COVID-19, we've continued to serve our community, but we've also extended beyond ourselves. We've worked to grow and expand in other ways. A great example of that, we've been really active with the North Carolina Healthcare Association, and we served as their distribution hub for PPE for Western North Carolina. So that allowed our team to serve other healthcare facilities across the state by providing them with much needed PPE during the pandemic. We've launched a new urology clinic that opened in July, and I think certainly opening a brand new clinic that provided services our community has needed for years was quite an accomplishment by our team, and I think is a testament to their dedication and abilities. So lots to be proud of here.
It sure sounds infectious and exciting and really a thriving critical access hospital. It really does. Talk about, as you look at the next 6 to 12 months, what do you view as your top three priorities? I know you got a new clinic going. You've been a hub for the pandemic, so critical. You're taking care of retirees. Talk about what are the top three priorities as you look to the next 6 to 12 months?
Well, the first priority is to find ways to continue to support our team of caregivers. I mean, we know the pandemic is certainly not over, and we all are also facing the upcoming winter flu season. I think the strain that has been placed upon all healthcare providers over the past 7 months has been incredible. And really, being a healthcare worker at this time is probably more difficult than any other time I can recall in my career. Certainly for me as a CEO, the weight of ensuring that we care for the caregivers weighs heavily on my mind. You really can't provide quality healthcare to others unless the caregivers are holistically well. So I'll be spending a lot of my time finding ways to support them. The second priority for me is that we remain financially viable in a continually difficult environment for small rural hospitals. You've already mentioned that. Many, many rural hospitals across the country are closing, and we have certainly improved over the past year and a half. Our team has worked extremely hard to become more financially viable, and we don't want to just survive. We need to thrive so that we can serve our community. Our team has got the goal to become the best critical access hospital in the Southeast. So together we're working on continuing to deliver quality care and making sure that we provide a value proposition for our community. So blocking and tackling operationally while we do that will be a huge priority. And then I think the last thing for me as a CEO is to grow our leaders. We recognize our organization can't rise any higher than its leaders do. If we don't level up and expand, we really can't lead the team and the organization where it needs to go. I think we have certainly learned over time that burned out and defeated leaders just really breeds discouragement and failure in the team. But if leaders can be inspired and fulfilled by their roles, I think it does become infectious. It becomes a catalyst for change. And then those leaders really want to care for their team. So it's an equation that we really need to solve. And my job really is to take barriers out of the leaders' paths and help them advance. So the next 6 to 12 months, those three things are where I'll spend the bulk of my time.
So we love that, really taking care of your employees and your team, keeping them safe, make sure financially viable, continuing to block and tackle operations, and then continue to grow leaders, because you can only go so far without a great group of leaders and a great team with you side by side. Talk for a moment about two or three pieces of advice that you would give to other healthcare leaders or emerging leaders. What would you tell them?
I think transparency and honesty, even when it's difficult, is the foundation for all relationships. So I've learned over time that hoarding information is really not power. It's just a pathway to failure. So I would encourage emerging leaders, share information with others as often and as freely as is possible. For me, the second thing would probably be quick to apologize and admit your mistakes. You know, I've learned I don't always get it right. You won't always get it right. And avoiding saying I'm wrong or I'm sorry really never creates positive situations. So showing integrity and admitting when you miss the mark really goes a long way with your teams. And then the last thing, don't just accept feedback, really search for it, mine for it. I think when you do that, sometimes people will tell you things that you really maybe didn't want to hear, but if you're brave enough to ask for that feedback, even if it feels disappointing at first because you find that you need to improve, It really allows you to change perceptions, and you can't change things that you don't know about. So once you receive that feedback, as long as you work really hard to avoid being defensive and instead you focus on growth and improvement, it only makes you stronger.
Well, fantastic. Michelle, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I want to thank you more for what a remarkable job you're doing in leading St. Luke's Hospital, so important to America's healthcare ecosystem. Thank you so much for joining Becker's Healthcare Podcast today.
Thank you.